Okay, Rabbozai, we have today a wonderful Chodesh Tov, and we got up to yesterday, Daf Chav Beis, Omud Beis, and we were right up to Hanoseh Tamidras, three lines from the bottom. It says over there that the halacha is this new idea that if you carry Midras, you're allowed to carry a barrel of wine that has Truma in it, let's say, but you could not carry simultaneously. You could not carry Kodesh. Now, why would that be? Kodesh, my timer. Let's figure out what the basis of this Gezerah is. Why can you not carry Kodesh? Well, the truth is, there's no logical reason why you can't carry Kodesh. In other words, there's nothing that we would have come up with on our own to say there's something wrong with carrying a Midras Hazav at the same time that you're carrying a barrel. The thing was that something happened, and this was one of the gezerot that were based on something that happened. Now, this we find this in numerous places, and we're going to be talking about another famous one that we had not that long ago that we spoke about. And when you make a gezerah based on a strange event, the gezerah is always built around the memory of the event. And therefore, since over here we wouldn't have come up with this Gezerah on our own, and only came up with it because of the reality that the event actually took place, so therefore it's a restricted Gezerah. The Omer of Yonah Mishmuel, Ma'aseh b'echad sh'haya ma'avir chavit shel yayin kodesh mimokom lemokom, there was a ma'isa, somebody was carrying an entire barrel of wine, or shemen, of wine, I mean, that was meant for the Beis HaMikdash, was transporting it, and his sandal broke. So the ritzua of his sandal, the strap of the sandal, broke, and he wanted to get it fixed. So he picked up the ritzua. That seems to be the way we have it here in the Bavli. I must tell you that I believe that our girsa is really a combination. It's a mess up of the girsa that we had in the Yerushalmi. So over here it says, Nifsika ritsu'a shel sandalo. So the strap tore off, and he put the strap, notice the feminine, unetala, he took the strap, it can't mean he took the sandal, v'hinicha al pi chavit, he put it on top of the barrel, and it fell into the air of the barrel, the airspace, and that means since it was obviously inside it, so it was able to be metame the wine. And because of that, so as I say, this idea of the gears that we have, that it was the ritsua that he put, is like a little bit weird, because normally we would say that a torn strap is certainly not a kli to be metame. So how in the world was it metame? It should have lost its din. So, okay, so Tosfos says, look, it's got to be talking about that it was large, that it was a sandal that was large and easy to reattach. So he just put it there for a moment. And remember we had in Kalim that if it's easy to reattach and any fool can do it, you don't need to go to a shoemaker. So then, or whatever the kli is, if it's easily repairable, then it's still considered to be a kli. But Lamaisa, the girsa in the Yerushalmi, is Zohar, which is that he took it, meaning he took the actual sandal itself. So, and there it would make sense that he put the sandal al pi achavin. So there he wasn't intending it should fall in there. It's a little hard to catch the case of the ritzua. And ba'otasha amru, at that time they said, anoseata midras, noseata truma, avaloata kodesh. Therefore, they made this gezerah. Now, I mean, if you're really worried that something that was tamei is going to fall into the barrel that you're carrying, and there, I mean, that's just as reasonable, I would think, for truma as it is for kodesh. So what's the logic over here? How in the world would you make a takona that is only nogea kodesh and not nogea truma if it's a question of an accident that could happen? If you've analyzed that this is reasonable enough that it's considered to be something that is motzer, because the rabbanim don't make a gezerah on something that isn't common. So if you're telling me it's common enough to be gezer, so then let's be gezer it on truma. Says the Gemara, no, this is a special gezerah. Because remember that this gezerah is based on a ma'aseh shehaya. It's not based on logic. We never would have thought that the Rabbanan are gozer on something that is not something that commonly happens. That's a general rule, right? Something that is not motzeh, the Rabbanan are simply not concerned about. But the thing is that since the Maisa happened and was Mafsid Chavis of Kodesh, and we want to remember the Maisa and to fix in people's minds the level of care, therefore, a higher level of care. Now, there's different ways of understanding this. We'll talk about it in a moment. But in any event, the general rule of Rabbi Hananya ben Akavya is that he, in the case where we had the Omar lo osu ela biyardein ubisvina, we had this whole story about what happened, as we'll have in a moment, what happened to the ashes of the Pora Aduma. And because of that gezerah, they asked carrying the Pora Aduma over water. We'll see exactly what the gezerah is. So Rabbi Hananya ben Akavya said in the Mishnah, you should know, lo osu ela biyardein ubisvina uchamaaser shahaya. We do not make a gezerah that is built on an event unless it is a replay of the actual event. And it's not a matter of logic. We're going to talk about this in a moment. So let's leave it for a sec. And in our Mishnah, it's the same thing it's talking about. Since it's not that this is a reasonable event that the Rabbanon would have thought about, it's an event that triggered a takana, then the takana is based on the event. What's this story? What are you talking about? A boat in the Jordan River? What is that? Mahi? That's the bright. Strange bright. Lo yisa adam mechatat ve'efer chatat ve'yavirein biyardenu besvina. A person shouldn't be carrying the mechatas or the efer chatas, anything that has, whether it's already mixed with water or it's just the efer. Don't put them in a boat across the Jordan River. What? That is wild. Don't stand on one side of a river and throw the efrachatas across to the other side. Don't float them on water. Don't ride. You should not be riding on the back of a horse carrying the efrachatas. You should not be carried by a friend and be holding the efrachatas. Unless the only way you're allowed to transport the efrachatas is your feet have got to be on the ground. Keep your feet on the ground. That's based on this gezerah, the English expression, because otherwise you're going to lose concentration. So keep those feet on the ground. Now, the idea of a year would be, according to the Tanakhama, obviously, I mean, wherever it is, it doesn't have to mean the Jordan River, any river. Rabbi Hananya ben Akavya says, no, there's no problem of keeping your feet on the ground. There's a problem of taking a boat across the Jordan River with the mechatas. You got to be kidding. No, because it was all based on a Maisa Shahaya. What was the Maisa Shahaya? The Amar of Yudah Amarav. It was a Maisa Ba'adam Echad. Now, the thing is, this guy, nobody knows, he was like a prominent mafioso, right? So they had these boats that they would dump bodies with in the East River, you know, but in those days it wasn't the East River. They dumped them in the Jordan River. All right. So anyway, this guy was carrying Mechatas and Eferchatas, right? And it's in this boat, and they're crossing the Jordan River, and you wouldn't believe it, they find a piece of a body in the, well, obviously, I mean, if it's a mafioso boat, you know. So they find a piece of a body in the boat, which was Metame, the Eferchatas, and because of that, they made a gezerah, Lo yisa adam mechatas ve'eferchatas ve'yavirein biyardenu bisvina. So that means that, according to Rabbi Hananya, it really is a laughable, in a sense, repetition of the event that took place. Now, that would be true over here. The event that took place was referring to a barrel of wine from Kodesh. Therefore, it doesn't apply to a barrel of wine of Truma. Because what we're interested in this Gezerah is not really protecting against an accident that is not a reasonable enough chance to happen. But we understand it like this. When an event happens that causes a problem that we should have made certain didn't occur, so that a chavis of yayin of kodesh should be nitma, so in order to remember the story, and therefore to remind people that it's something that it's kedai to think about, because that way the event won't happen, so because of that, we're koveya a memory for the story. You may remember the idea of sandala misumar, not to wear a sandal mesumar that was caused by an event where people ended up trampling each other and killing each other with the, you're not allowed to wear spiked shoes on Shabbos, whatever, right? And various things like that. So therefore, what we're looking for is not really a reasonable extension of the idea. We're looking for memory of the event. Another approach to it that some take is that even though the Rabbanan are careful not to discuss things that are not common problems, and therefore they're not going to be involved in possibilities, but when an event happens that is nogea, something that we have concern for, then we view that event as being a gilui, that we have a right to respond, even though we normally wouldn't, and we should take it into consideration to protect what it is that was affected. And that's more the Rabbanan's approach, that if it turned out that b'hashgacha, this should happen, and we're always concerned, remember, we made all these takonas to have a greater level of awareness where you're handling a carbon, you're handling the kachim, whatever it is of Kadesh, or where you're handling chatas, meaning the paraduma. So we take the event as an indication that we should be more careful, and we use it as a consciousness-raising event. That's all. But therefore, we do extend it. Now, how far would we take this idea of the specificity? In other words, what was the event? What we're trying to talk about is to teach people that they should be careful about the type of things that could be Tamei Midras. Meaning, if you have a sandal, it doesn't matter whether the sandal is really the sandal that is currently Tamei Midras. It means a kli that is roy to be Tamei Midras. We want you to learn to avoid, even if it's tar. So I don't know how to read the specificity. I mean, I understand that the Mishnah is talking about a sandal tamei for sure. If it's predicated on the event, could it be that we're focused on the sandal as opposed to the tumas midras? What about if the sandal was tahar? Would we actually have asked it? And look, obviously the event happened because the barrel was open. I mean, otherwise, how could it have fallen in? But did we focus on sandals and barrels, or did we focus on the likelihood of a tamei sandal falling into an open barrel? I don't know that either, because the whole idea here is not meant to be logical. So, I mean, if the chavit is open, obviously that's the fundamental problem that we would have. If you're telling me we would only make a gezeira that is a zecher ledava, it has to at least recreate the problem. So then it would have to be a sandal tamei, and it would have to be a chavis besucha. If it's only a zecher to an event that happened, so then we might want people simply to focus on don't carry a barrel of wine at the same time that you're carrying a shoe. Okay, because that would be a consciousness-raising issue lagabi kodesh also. And I got another question. I understand that the other takonas, this is a very profound question, the other malot that we spoke about provided an actual din of tuma and taira. They said that something which is X, whatever that is, it's a big day amaretz, kelim anigmorim b'taira, whatever it is actually considered to be tummy. And therefore, if it would come into contact with that kodesh, it would be passeling the kodesh, right? You wouldn't be allowed to eat it, make a shlishi, which could make a revi, whatever the din is. This event issue, when we make such a takona, have we really defined a level of tuma? It's the same kind of malot, or it's a level of action and care? I mean, does it actually mean that if I carried a sandal at the same time that I carried a barrel of wine, it becomes tame? I mean, are you really saying that? Well, you're just telling me how to act. Be careful not to carry a sandal at the time that you're carrying the open barrel, or maybe even the closed barrel. But obviously, if you did it, how could anything become tame? I mean, that's crazy. That's the whole point of adding it to the malot. The result is tuma. So therefore, I want to know, avar v'nasa, suppose you did it. You didn't listen to this takana. Did you actually make the wine tame or not? Mao. So Rabbi Yiloah says, well, I don't know about the other issues, but I could certainly tell you that im avar v'nasa, your tummy. Whereas Rabbi Zera says, no, this is a behavioral gezera, not a din in kviyas tuma, and therefore avar v'nasa tahor. Okay, so we have two very different approaches, and if we add that to the machlokas between Rabbi Hananya and the Chachamim, we have a lot of different approaches, because we have to see what the din would be according to both the Rabban and Rabbi Hananya. Now, the next case that we had, and this was number 6, Kelim Hanigmarim B'Tahara. What is the din of Kelim Hanigmarim B'Tahara? 6 or 7. So anyway, who did it? You're saying Kelim that were manufactured, and they were manufactured without any exposure to Tumah. Now, who was the person that completed the manufacture? Was it a Chaver who is not considered to be Tamei? So I understand, why in the world, if a chaver who is careful is completing something and he's making sure that it's tahar, so why, I understand, it's worse when he's completing it than if it's been in his rishus the whole time. We don't think that the chaver's kelim are tameim, so why would just the fact that it's a brand new kli, that would make it tamei? Isn't that weird? So lomalu tvila, that doesn't make any sense. It must be talking about that in Amma Aretz, where Gamrina Betaira. But then what would it have to do with Gamrina Betaira? Anything that is a kli of an Amma Aretz requires tuma. That's not called Betaira. Betaira means dafka, that it wasn't exposed to tuma. I don't understand. Omer Rabba Barshila, Omer Rav Matzah, Omer Shmuel. Obviously, it's got to be talking about, if you're saying the words Nigmar Betaira, it's talking about a chaver. So you're saying, oh, so then why is it worse than his kelim? I'll tell you why. Because the kelim that are shayach to Kabbalah's tuma, which are in the rishus of the chaver, he is careful about, and therefore will never expose them to an Amma Aretz. But how about something that cannot be makabel tuma? He's in the middle of working on something. Something, while it's still being worked on, is considered to be gol-make kelim. It's not makabel tuma. So then a friend comes in, I shouldn't say a friend because that's a chaver, right? But the neighbor comes in and asks for a cup of coffee. So fine, he gives him a cup of coffee. What's the problem? Now, what the problem is, that even though that was at 9 o'clock in the morning when the guy came in for a cup of coffee, and it is now 1 o'clock in the afternoon, what the chaver does not realize is that when he gave the neighbor a cup of coffee, he sneezed. And therefore, he deposited some body fluid, spit, got onto this kli. The guy didn't notice. He continued working on it. Now, when it's royal kabel tuma, he is satisfied with his precautions against allowing a neighbor who is an Amma Aretz to get anywhere near it. He says, oh, whew, thank heavens, that was back in the morning. That could have been a disaster. I would have had to make up an excuse why I'm not giving him a cup of coffee, right? But what he doesn't realize is that the spit on this thing is still wet. The moment it became royal kabel tuma, it was makabel tuma, because it was being exposed to what has the din of the spit of a zav, tzinor of an Amma Aretz. Because of that, we're always afraid that an event like that could have taken a place, because Lamaisa, the chaver, at the time that it was royal kabel tuma, was very careful, but not during the time that it wasn't royal kabel tuma. And that would be the problem. Well, let's just read that inside. Le'olam de gamrinu chaver, and the gezeira over here is because of tzinura, which means a speaking and a little bit of spit comes out, or sneezing, of an Amma Aretz. Well, I understand, when did this spit come out? I mean, Eli may be commonly ligmary. When did it hit? It hit before it was royal kabel tuma. So then it's not a kli. I'll have money. It's not shaykh to make a gezeira on it. Ella, you're going to tell me it was after it was finished. So that can't be. Because that's exactly what the chaver is being careful. That's why it says in the Gemara in Betaira, right? Mizar Zoyabu, he's being very careful. Answers the Gemara, as we explained. Lioilo mikami de gamre. Obviously, he was only allowing the Amma Aretz into the house before it was roy to be makabel tuma, but we're afraid that the guy sneezed and dilma be'idna de gamre adayin lachahi. And since it was determined that wearing masks on an Amma Aretz is not sufficient to protect from infection, so because of that, we are concerned with this gezerah of kelim hanigmar b'tahara. By the way, I mean, you note how sensitive this actually makes us to things that we become sensitive to with greater awareness of the possibility of body fluids contaminating things, right? It's amazing. Okay, so we're afraid that adayin lachayi, maybe it's still damp at the time that it's finished, and therefore be matame. But look, the Mishnah says that it kelim anigmorin b'tahara b'ina tvila. Why does it say b'ina tvila? I mean, the truth is that normally when we make a gezerah or takana, I mean, we'll tell you the stages. We'll say b'ina tvila v'erev shemesh, right? It's always like that. If it left out the word erev shemesh, apparently it really does not need erev shemesh. In other words, the mala over here is only to be mechayev in tvila. But it's not so chomor that it requires harev shemesh. But that is a big problem because it means that our Mishnah is really machlokas. Because then this Mishnah does not add up according to Reb Eliezer, as we're going to see in a moment. Because we can prove that Reb Eliezer holds that you need harev shemesh for kelim anigmor and b'taira. And our Mishnah is saying you do not need harev shemesh. And here is the Mishnah that teaches me that what Reb Eliezer Shita is. Now, this is a Mishnah in Parah. And Reb Eliezer says over there that in the event that a shvoferet was cut for a chatas, what does that mean? So remember that they didn't exactly have these little tubes that hold your eye drops, where you break off the top of the tube, you know, use it once and throw it into the garbage. It was very difficult to manufacture in those days, but they had something equivalent. They had reeds, which are tubes, which can then be sealed at one end, broken off at the other end after they're sealed, and they hold your eye drops. Well, they weren't too big on using them for eye drops, but they were big on using them for mechatas. Because after all, in those little towns where they don't have your drive-in center for hazoyas mechatas, you could always pick up a tube of mechatas at your local drugstore. So because of that, this is the way that they packaged it. So they had these tubes, and the tubes were made out of reeds. And so you cut the reed, you put in the efrachatas in it, you seal the reed. What's the din? So Rabbi Eliezer says you got to be tevel it on the spot. And then, now this is something that requires a bit of reminding. It's a sugya we've had many times. And that is that when we were doing things with the chatas, we bedavka did them with the tuma of itful yom. Now the reason for this is because the Torah repeats the word v'za ish tahor al hatameh, even though it started off by saying that an ish tahor should take the ashes of the parah. So then it should just say v'yazeh. Why does it say yazeh ish tahor again? So from there we learn out that he only has to be some level of tahor, as long as you can call him tahor. Now since it says in the pasuk v'taval b'mayim v'taher, and from there we learn that the halacha is that vis-a-vis ma'aser sheni, a tfuyom is considered to be tahor. So then that means some level of taira is necessary in order to do the hazoya. That means that it would be kosher with a tfuyom. Of course, the tzedukim took that as laughable. Because the Torah, bedavka says tahor, you're going to say bedavka means tamei. That's what we say. Michlal shehu tamei. If it says ish tahor, it must mean that he's tamei. You guys are nuts. Okay, so because of that, in order to be motzi mili banshal tzedukim, who said, you're going to ruin the paraduma if you have it through yom, touch it, we bedavka make the guy tamei, put him into the mikveh, and then have him do it. Say, ha, 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 we're using it through yom for the para. Go make your own. Okay, fine. So now, because of that, when we're talking about the tube, the manufacturing of the tube also is going to be dealing with a tube which is guaranteed to be a tful yom tube, right? Okay, so Rabbi Yeshua says, no, you can't just put it into the mikveh because that won't prove anything because it was never tummy. You have to first make it tummy and then you put it into the mikveh. Okay, so what is Rabbi Eliezer saying? I mean, what's the point of being tevel at miyad? It shouldn't need tefillah at all. No, of course it needs tefillah. Why? Because of this mala. It's kelim anigmorim betara. And the tzedukim know perfectly well that the rabbanon have these malot. So they're going to wonder, well, if this is kelim anigmorim betara, why didn't they wait for Harav Shemesh? Because those bums have this idiotic Lima da Tohar means tame, classic Purushim. Anyway, so because of that, Rebbe Eliezer is saying it's sufficient to be Tevelet. Whereas Rebbe Yeshua says, no, never became tame. You've got to actually make it tame, then be Tevelet. Now, consider the obvious implications. If, according to Rebbe Eliezer, you don't need to make a tame, and you're still going to make a point to the tzedukim by showing them that you're using something which is tful yom, then obviously it needs to require Harav Shemesh, because otherwise it's not a tful yom. So if you hold that Kalim HaNigmorim B'Taira don't require Harav Shemesh, like our Mishnah is saying, it only requires tefillah, so then what's the point? If you were tovel them, you now completed the entire process, and we're not making any point to the tzedukim. So therefore, it must be that if Rebbe Eliezer says, no, it's enough to just, you know, just throw them into the mikveh now and then go ahead and use it. You've already made your point. What point? The Mishnah in Chagiga says you don't need Arav Shemesh. Aha, say the tzedukim. You see, they need to make sure it was completely Torah. They're very, very makbid. Okay, so that's how we're going to end up bringing a raya from you. Now we're going to go through the steps. Okay, so over there, we asked, when we were learning that Mishnah in Pura, you know what we asked? We said, I don't understand. Who was the one that cut this reed to make the tube for the Efer Chatas? Was it a chaver? So why would it need tefillah at all? Ella must be that it was an Amma Aretz. So why would Rabbi Yeshua say you need to be metame it? Anything that the Amma Aretz touches is already tame, so it's tame v'koy. The Omar Rabba Barshila Omar of Masla Omar Shmuel, he explained, we're talking about a chover cut it, and the reason that it requires tefillah is because of Kalim Adigmor and Batira, and we were worried, like we explained, that maybe somebody sneezed on it, it was an Amma Aretz before I finished processing it, and the reason that I need to be tefillah is because it's Sinura da Amma Aretz. And we go through the whole rigmarole we went through here to understand the Mishnah. Well, when did the Amma Aretz sneeze on it? If it was before it was cut and processed, and it can't be Mekabel Tuma, Lav Manahu. Elad's talking about after it was cut, but after it was cut, since a chover is the one who's processing it, he doesn't allow it to get close to it, Amma Aretz is going to sneeze on it. And the same answer. No, of course, it's talking about that he sneezed on it before he cut it, and we're worried that maybe be'ida dechatcha dayin lachahi. We're worried that it's still damp after he already cut it. It'll be mekabel tuma. That's just explaining our Mishnah. Okay, we're going through the conversation that they had. But anyway, now here's the point. According to Rabbi Yeshua, you made a big point. You were metame something, you were tevelet, and you didn't wait for Erev Shemesh. That teaches the tzedukim that we very seriously take this drasha of ish tohar, right? So, ha'inadika ha'kera le'tzedukim. Dutnan, betamina yu'et ha'kohen ha'sorev ha'tapara. Let me just remind you what this is all about, the business about the tzedukim and making somebody tame, just in case you're not cognizant. I want to remind you that, as the Mishnah says in Pura, they used to bedavka be metame the kohen who serves as a Pura, in order to be motzi mi liban shel tzedukim shoya omrim b'meurevei shemesh aita naaset. Since the tzedukim said you have to be completely tor, we bedavka made the kohen who was doing the tame, we put him in the mikvah, and we did not wait for Harav Shemesh. And then we laughed at them. Anyway, so then that would be a reason that Rabbi Yeshua says, okay, so we need to make the tubes tame and then use them while they are in a state of tful yom. But according to Rabbi Eliezer, now, how are we making a point? That's why I say the Mishnah is not like Rabbi Eliezer, because look, if you're going to tell me, Amrit Bishlama, that according to Rabbi Eliezer, you actually require Harav Shemesh for Kalim HaNigmorim B'Taira, then everything adds up, because then you have a heker to the tzedukim. It needs Harav Shemesh. You didn't give it Harav Shemesh. And even though that's only a drabbanan, that's not the point. The tzedukim still know that you made that takana, and therefore you are going out of your way to do it in a way that you hold as a tful yom, and that's enough of a slap in the face. So that's Haino Deike Kera Letzedukim. But if you're going to say that Rabbi Eliezer agrees with our Mishnah, and that Kalim HaNigmorim B'Tahira are Be'ina Tvila, not Erev Shemesh, so where's the Heker Letzedukim? The moment that you put it into the mikveh, it's tahar completely. So then, Maya Kera Letzedukim Ika. Therefore, the Mishnah is not like Rabbi Eliezer. QED. Omar Rav, no. Look, Are you agreed that we could do whatever we want? I mean, we're talking about over here a mala, okay? I'm going to tell you a new mala. The new mala is that the Rabbanan said a tube that is used for the Efer HaPora is considered to have a tuma on a level of something that touched the sheret. So that's our halacha. So if it's tame like it's sheretz, so then the tzedukim know, of course, I mean, tuma sheretz requires erev shemesh, and we don't give it erev shemesh. This is special halacha. No, wait a minute. Wait a minute. That can't be true. Because if we're treating it only like a tuma sheretz, so how does it make a person tame? Why does it say in the Braita that anybody who handles these tubes, the guy who is going to cut the tube, the guy who is matbil, he himself requires tefillah because he was in touch with this tube, which is tame. Now, I mean, you're saying it's only tame like something that touched the sheretz. Something that touched the sheretz cannot be matame and odam. It becomes only a rishon the tumah by touching the sheretz, right? Okay, fine. Not touch the sheretz. Touch the mace, okay? So if it touched the mace, it has a din of tame mace. If it's a tame mace, so then it's going to be matame odam. Now, this is a bit of a problem because the question is, remember, it's only the Rambam who holds that cherev harehu kichalal applies to any materials whatsoever, right? This is wood. This is a reed. This is wood. So if you're going to transfer to it the din of maga sheretz, that it, maga tumas mace, so that it could be metame and odam, it would only be lechora because of Cherev Harehu Kechalal, if you remember our limudim that we had in Tyrus, in a number of places, the idea of Cherev Harehu Kechalal, but why else would it in fact be Metame? Okay, that is a little bit off the beaten track over here in this sugya, but keep that in mind. This seems to be a riot to the Rambam. Anyway, so why does it say that he becomes Tame? Yes, because they made it into a Tame mace. So that makes a heck of an impact on the Tzedukim, doesn't it? It does. I guess it would, but then why is tefillah enough? Why doesn't it need shlishi v'shvi? Alama tanya chotcha umat bilato un tefillah. Mashma davka tefillah, nana zor shlishi v'shvi. So now it doesn't make sense. It can't be sheretz because maga sheretz, something that was maga sheretz is only a rishon, won't be matame yodam. But it can't be mace because if it was maga and the mace, then it would require a zor shlishi v'shvi. Okay, so now what are you going to say? You know what I'm going to say? I'm going to say something that's going to drive you nuts, all right? But this is our takana. We're making these milas. We can do whatever the heck we want to do. So you know what we're doing? We're turning this tubes. Here is an official takana. Just came out of Takana Center. And the tubes that are used for Efer Pora are considered to be the equivalent of a tame mace that had already gotten Hazar Shlishi V'Shvi, and now he requires only the tefillah. Asur Katame mace on the seventh day. Oh, come on, you can't do that. You can't just arbitrarily make an insane thing. I mean, what is that supposed to mean? It's on the eighth day, and it's, come on. It's a Beferish Abraita that says that we don't do insane things. It says in the Braita, even when it comes to Pora Aduma, we made all these nutty takanas because of the fact that we do this. Remember, all of the malas on Pora is not because Pora is innately more tahar than Kodesh is. On the contrary, the Torah is allowing you to do it with a Tevul Yom. But that's the whole point. Since the Torah allows us to do it with a Tevul Yom, and we go out of our way, Bidavka, to be Matame the Kohen. So I ask you, won't normal people feel, oh, well, it's just poras chatas. Obviously, that's not important because the rabbis let you do it with a tefillah yom. So they're going to come out with thinking that the pora is less chashiv than anything else, and they'll end up really being metame, not being careful. So because of that, we make all of these malas in pora. Obviously, you will remember that the pora aduma is supposed to be paradoxical anyway. Metame is a tahorim, metare is a tmeim, and so on. So the fact that it is the one thing that you could do with the tefillah yom, and therefore it's the one thing that everything is insanely mechomer on, seems to be very paradoxically involved with the paradoxical anyway, so who cares? But Okay. Still, the Brita said, even when it comes to the Pura Aduma, we never did something that was off the wall. So me olam lo chichu davar bepara. It's not like we would do something nutty. I mean, this is about as nutty as you can get. What do you mean? It's tummy as if it touched a mace, but it already went through hasaya shlishi v'shvi, and now it's only waiting for tefillah. This is crazy, isn't it? No, of course not. It's not what it means when it says me olam lo chichu badavar. Look, is there such a thing as a tummy mace biyom hashvi shelo? Yes. We didn't create a new concept of Tumah. That's what it means. When it says that they would never did anything crazy, lo chichu bo davar, that would mean, for instance, Omer Abaye, did they say that a hatchet could be metame moshav? No. They didn't take a concept that doesn't exist anywhere else, but they could take a state that obviously does exist. By definition, it has to exist. And they said, that is the state of this object. That's not a chiddush. That's just the definition of the level of tumah. Does such a level of tumah exist? Yes. That a hatchet should be able to be tamei midras if a zov sits on it? That's a joke. It's a violation of the concept of what the dinim of tumas kalim are. You can't create a new thing that is not shayach to that tumah. But to me, to define a state, which could certainly have happened, it could have been touched by a mace, it could have had a zayah shlishi v'shvi, it could have been at that very moment before the end. Why is that called chichu b'davar, says Abaye? That's not what we're talking about. So therefore, that is perfectly, you want to call, listen, this is a source of another, by the way, another English expression. It's called, call a spade, exactly. Because you can't call a spade a moshav azov. Why would they say dafka spade? Because our Gemara takes the example of a spade. So you can't make a spade roy for moshav hazov. Okay?
I agree. Let's bury the hatchet.
Many people think a cardam is a spade, so it works out fine according to them. Okay. And this is a price we've had many, many times. You want to go ahead, you take a bucket or you take a paint can, you know, you turn it upside down and sit on it. So the guy who sits on it is a zov. Is he metame the bucket because he's sitting on the bucket? No. Why? Because note the lashon in the pasuk. It says, v'hayoshev al hakli. So you might think, okay, hayoshev al hakli means that he takes the bucket, turns it upside down, or a tarkav, which is half of a saw, turns it upside down, sits on it, should be tummy. No. Look at the rest of the pasuk. Hayoshev al hakli asher yeshev alav azav. Well, what is that supposed to mean? So, asher yeshev alav azav. If somebody sits on a kli that a zav will sit on, it will sit on. It's tahar, but you become tummy? That's a joke. Therefore, what is the meaning asher yeshev? It means that it's in the way that we use the ongoing present as a future tense, right? Something that is meant to be set on by a zav. But if you turn the paint can upside down and sit on it, guess what's going to happen? Somebody's going to come along and say, well, you get your rear end off of my paint can, I got to go paint. Or somebody's going to take the bucket and say, stand up and get out of here. And that's the point. Only if it's asher yeshev alav, mishum yuchad yeshiva, yatsa zo, as opposed to cases where the people who need it for its purpose are going to say, will you please get up and let us get to work here? So, amod v'nasem lachtenu. So therefore, you're going to say that the rabbanim will make a takana that a paint can is going to be makabel tumah. No. They're not going to say that a spade is makabel tumah and a hatchet is makabel tumah from itself sitting on it. It's not meant for sitting. Okay, great. Now let's move on to number 7. Hakli mitzaref mashe betocho lekodesh aval lo letruma. Where does that come from? That a kli can turn things that are not connected to each other. So let's say you have separate little granules. You've got some ketores, right? The ketores are very fine granules. You've got granules of ketores scattered over the bottom of a kli. Or for that matter, a full kli of ketoret. If you touch the edge of a bunch of granules, you were metame the granule you touched, and maybe that granule could be metame the one next to it, but it certainly can't be metame the entire containers, right? So what would be the din? So we're saying that the din is every last bit of Ketores inside of that container is considered to be directly touched by you. And it will be Tomei as if you touched it directly, because the Kli is Mitzaref. Where do we get that from? Minani Mile. Omar Rabbi Chanin, it's a pasuk, because it says in the story of what it was that the Nesiim brought to the Mizbeach at the Chanukah Samishkan, the Omar Kra, Kafachat Asara Zahav Melea Ketoret, and it keeps repeating that 12 times. So that's pretty much a raya that kaf achat. What do you have to say kaf achat? Say kaf. Kaf asara zahav melea ketoret. Obviously it's a chat if it's only a kaf, right? But when it says kaf achat, it's to tell me that kaf, says the Torah, hakatuv asa'o, l'koma shebe kaf achat. Anything held in this kaf is part of the same thing. It's all kaf achat, it's me'ached, everything into one. It's a pasuk. Now, there's something very strange about this, because until now we've been talking about ma'alot derabanan. Now, Rav Chanin seems to be coming along and saying, no, this is a ma'ala d'oraita. The Torah said when it comes to ketoret, which is kadesh, then a kaf is aso achat. And therefore, we have a special din of a ma'ala b'kadesh, which is only a din in kadesh, because it's learned tafka from this case of the Chanukah Samishkan and the use of a kaf achat for keteres. So don't tell me it should apply to truma, and that's my solution to the ma'ala, which is, whoa. I mean, we've been talking about the rabbonins the whole time already. All of a sudden, we're switching to a d'oraisa. Mati Rav Kahana, now, wait. It can't be a d'oraisa. Because if you take a look at the Mishnah in Idiot, so in the Mishnah in Idiot, the Mishnah in Idiot starts off by saying, as we're going to see in a moment, the Gemara is going to quote the Mishnah in Idiot, but it starts off in saying that according to Rabbi Shimon ben Becerra, the Efer Chatas that was touched in any one part, and remember, we're talking about dust granules, right? We're talking about ash. So these are granules, tiny. That if anybody, Tomei, touched any part of it in that Kli, Yaakov, mute, any part of it, so then it was all Tomei. That was the Reb Shimon ben Becerra. Now, on that, and that's important because we're going to show that that can only be true midrabanan, which it's clear to us already, because, I mean, certainly kafachat melea ketoret does not apply to ashes of a chatas. I mean, kafachat melea ketoret is something that's roy to be put on the mizbeach. This is as far from that as you could possibly go. So it's clearly not based on Rav Mani's pasuk, right? Now, on that mimer that opened up the Mishnah with Rav Shimon ben Becerra, Rabbi Akiva says, I would like to add to Rabbi Shimon ben Becerra's point. It's not only about the ashes of achatas. It would be true about solet, about ketoret, about levona, and about gecholim. Gecholim. Oh, well, gecholim are not even food. And, I mean, neither is levona for that matter. At least you could say, okay, the gecholim I actually put on to be makriv, but I don't get it. And nonetheless, we're going to say, Im nagat tfuyom b'miktzato, pasalat kulo as a din of kodesh. How is that possible? I thought it has to be royal achila. Remember the halach of chibat hakodesh. Something which has the chashivas of being kodesh gives it the chashivas equivalent to an oichel. And therefore, chibat hakodesh is machsharatan, as if they were actually food. Now, I can prove to you 100%. Everything that Rabbi Akiva is talking about can only be true midrabanan. Because, look, take a look at how the Mishnah begins. The Mishnah begins with clearly a derabanan idea to which Rabbi Akiva says, I want to add. Okay, so it means I want to add in the same context as Rav Shimon ben Manasseh. Now, here's how the Mishnah started. Hey, Rabbi Shimon ben Becerra, al efer chatas, shenoga atome b'mitzato, shetimeyet kulo. So it started with something that is obviously only a derabanan, because Rav Chanin couldn't possibly have been referring to Efer Chatas. I mean, how could Kaf Achat Melea Ketoret refer to Efer Chatas? If you're ready to say it doesn't refer to Truma, Certainly doesn't for the Fakatas. And then what are the next words? Hosif Rabbi Akiva. Hosif means I'm adding to that idea, which means that the entire halacha of Kaf Achat cannot be based on a pasuk. And you're saying it's based on a pasuk. I say we go back to the normal way of understanding the Mishnah and recognize that this is a Mala D'Rabbanan. Now you got to figure out where it comes from, whatever you want, but don't give me the stuff that is based on the pasuk. Amar Reish Lakish B'Shum Bar Kapara. No, not necessarily. Let's take a look at what Rabbi Akiva is talking about, okay? Rabbi Akiva says, this is Uriah. It says Solet, correct? Now, Solet is obviously used for Menachas. And Rabbi Akiva is saying that it's a Hosafa, meaning that it's only a Darabana. And Rav Mani was saying, no, it's a Diorisa, because it's like the Ketoret, right? It's Roy for the Mizbeach, and therefore the Kli is Mitzarif, the little bits of Solet, which are also tiny granules, into one thing, correct? So now, if that's the case, it must be, you said, it must be that therefore, obviously, what we have over here is a Derabbanan. And I say, no. I say that it's talking about solet, yes, but what kind of solet? It's talking about the solet which was used for Shiyore Menachas. Now, this is solet that basically the Kohanim are going to be eating, this solet. It's not going to be put on the Mizbeach, it's Shirayim. At this point, the Kli would not be Mitzarev D'Oraisa. That's why he says Hosif. Let me explain to you why. Because Rav Mani's point that a Kli is Mitzarev Koma Shebetocho is only a reference to ingredients that need that Kli. Shiyore Menachas do not need a Kli. At all. The Keteres has to be in the Kaf because it's the Kaf that gives it Kedushas Aguf, which then allows it to be put on the Mizbeah. So therefore, yes, when it comes to the Ketoret, yes. When it comes to the Solet that you're going to be using as the Mincha, yes. But that's not what Rabbi Akiva was adding. Rabbi Akiva was adding even the leftover Solet, which is now not part of the Tzorech HaKli for the Mincha. Even that is also Mitzarev Masha Betocho. That's a Derabbanan. But it doesn't mean that the Iker Din of Ramani isn't correct, that there is a Diraisa of Kli Mitzarev Masha Betocho. Therefore, I explain, says Reish Lakish, that Midi Araisa Ramani is correct, that Tzorech L'Kli HaKli Mitzarefo. If it's something that requires a Kli, then the Kli makes it in one. But if it doesn't require the Kli anymore, such as Shiyari Menachas, that doesn't make it into one. Come along the Rabbanan and make this Gezera. Afagav the Inner Tzarech L'Kli, Kli Mitzarfo. Great, so it still works out perfectly okay. No, wait. What do you mean it's perfectly okay? It may be perfectly okay. You've answered one question, and that was about the Solet, okay? How about the other stuff? Rabbi Akiva mentioned Ketoret, for God's sake. I mean, Ketoret, Levona, what are you going to say about that? Those things definitely are Tzorech L'Kli, aren't they? Omer of Nachman, Omer Rabba Baravua. Rabbi Akiva is talking about a case where the Kli that you used was a flat leather tablecloth. It did not have any sides. And that's the problem. A kaf has sides. So therefore, Media Raisa, only if it has a toch, only if it has an inside to the Kli, that makes sense. The toch makes it all one thing. But if it doesn't have a toch, you can't call it a container. It's just a place that something is sitting on. Now that is not Mitzarif Masha Betocho. Media Raisa comes along, Rabbi Akiva. I want to add a new level of Amala, that even a Kli without a Toch is Mitzarev, Oterabonen V'tiknu. This is the Mila, that Afagav de'en lo Toch, it still is Mitzarev. So therefore, Rav Chanin can be perfectly okay, even in light of Rabbi Akiva, because every single case that Rabbi Akiva was talking about was a case not covered by Rav Chanin, and that's the Mila that is the Rabbanan, and the Rabbanan were Mosif. So we're Mosif either as Eino Tzarech L'Kli, or we're Mosif the fact that the Kli doesn't have a Toch, whatever. But we're Mosif things that would not have been covered by the overall Takana of the overall, no, I should say Takana, the overall insistence of the Torah, that a Kafu Seko Basha Betocho Achad.